It's not a job, it's an adventure.
No, that's the Navy.
The few and the proud?
No, that's the Marines.
Hmm. Keep going, going, and gone?
No, that's the Energizer Bunny.
Gentlemen, we're be all you can be.
In the Army.
Pauly Shore. Is in the Army now.
2, 3, 4!
You will obey every order, grunt!
He's learning that a good soldier...
Go out and give me push-ups!
All the way up and down, right?
...must get into shape.
Woo! Hit me!
Mold me, halt me, make me a man! I love you.
Learn special skills.
I want you to drop the pin, throw the grenade.
Serve his country.
This is a very simple, routine mission.
A mission?
Let's go bust some scuds!
Hard wheels!
Get a hold of yourself, soldier.
Can I call you General Sweetpants?
And become a leader.
Ordinarily, we would have you tortured.
Suck on this at one time!
It looks like our truck.
It's all right.
Hollywood Pictures presents Pauly Shore.
Ow!
Army now.
Hello!
Hey!
Think we can squeeze a little juice? Oops.
I feel like a duck-billed platypus.
Ow! Did check out the knot. It's the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Let's go, Tybalt! Great adventures await!
Welcome back to Dystopian Dance Party's Year of the Weasel. My name is Zach.
I'm Callie.
And today we are talking about 1994's In the Army Now. I gotta say, a few times during the course of recording this show, we've said that we've been pleasantly surprised and the movies are better than we thought they were going to be. And it's all been very positive. This is the first time where I've felt a twinge of concern about where the rest of this year-long experiment is taking with us. I did not like In the Army Now very much.
Yeah, this was the first one that I picked my phone up at some point. I was like, all right, I've seen enough.
And I would say America agrees with us. Like usual, I'm not doing a ton of research here, especially today. Like, I'm especially uninspired by this movie. So I'm really just like reading off the Wikipedia page. But I feel like there's less content out there about In the Army Now than there is about Son-in-Law, and certainly about Encino Man. So I think it is sort of reflective of the declining interest in Pauly Shore as a film actor. You know, what I can say is it came out in 94, directed by Daniel Petrie Jr., who actually has some decent films to his name. He wrote the original Beverly Hills Cop, so that's a good movie. He also wrote a movie from 86 called The Big Easy with Dennis Quaid and Ellen Barkin. It's like a neo-noir kind of thing. He wrote Turner and Hooch.
That's a thing.
Maybe a similar caliber. I actually haven't seen
Turner. Does that have Tom Hanks in it?
I mean, that's kind of...
I hate Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks and a dog. Yes.
It doesn't sound like it's for me. I have like the opposite.
We don't really like dogs either. So it's
Yeah, I know. I feel like I have the opposite
Tom Hanks and dogs.
Everyone else has. Where like, I feel like the world at large is like in love with Tom Hanks and hates Pauly Shore. I do a complete flip on that. I'm sorry. I'm so sick
of
doing just like accents. I don't want to hear any more accent work. I hated The Terminal. I'm sick of him. I'm sick of him and his stupid sons. Get him out of here.
Oh, this is his debut as a director was the 1991 film Toy Soldiers, about an all-male boarding school overtaken by terrorists, starring Year of the Weasel alum Sean Astin. So there's a little connection there.
I thought Toy Soldiers was going to be the Army Men toy movie. You remember that? Yeah,
like the what was that called? Small Soldiers.
Maybe, yeah.
He did not do Small Soldiers. honestly, after In the Army Now, this is on Wikipedia. I'm not looking at IMDb. So I don't know if this is a selected filmography, and I'm too lazy to confirm. But if this is to be believed, after In the Army Now, there was like a 20-year break until he made another movie. He did In the Army Now in 1994, and then he did a movie in 2014 called Dawn Patrol with Rita Wilson, actually, Tom Hanks's wife. That's
Paw Patrol? That's
interesting. So that's Daniel Petrie Jr. I guess the biggest surprise there, other than the Sean Astin connection, is that he wrote Beverly Hills Cop, which is actually a good movie. But I will say, though, that when you watch Beverly Hills Cop, you don't walk away from it being like that screenplay. I mean, it's, you know, it's the like, it's Eddie Murphy and the music. And, you know, I don't know if the screenplay is doing the heavy lifting. So this was the third movie in Pauly Shore's infamous exclusive contract with Hollywood Pictures that caused Jeffrey Katzenberg to shut him out of making his dream project, Totally London. We talked about that a little bit with Son-in-Law. It was also the least successful of those movies. The Wikipedia article gives it a kind of positive spin. It says the film earned $28,881,266 at the box office, making it the fourth highest grossing film starring Pauly Shore behind Encino Man, Son-in-Law, and A Goofy Movie, which is factually accurate. However, I think it's also important context. You could frame that the other way so that at the time that In the Army Now came out, it was also the lowest grossing film starring Pauly Shore. And it really only went down from there. So, I mean, it's like a glass half full, glass half empty thing. You can either say that this was the fourth most popular or the least popular at to date.
You know what? If it had been like a cult classic and a really good movie, or at least like an okay movie and kind of funny, if it had been a Son-in-Law or maybe like a step down from Son-in-Law, then I would be more willing to accept it as the former description. But it was definitely the worst movie that we've been in to date. Like, let's just be real.
And of course, you know, goes without saying, did not do well critically. This also has the lowest Rotten Tomatoes score of any of the movies we've talked about. It is in the single digits, 6% approval rating, average score of 2.6 out of 10. I'm not a big Rotten Tomatoes boy, but I do think it's fun to put these into context. The consensus states this 1994 Pauly Shore vehicle stretches its star's thin shtick to the breaking point with a laugh-deficient screenplay that borrows shamelessly from Bill Murray's far superior Stripes. I got to say, and this might get me canceled by our Gen X fans, and I know that they're out there, I haven't actually seen Stripes. So I don't doubt that it's better than In the Army Now. Have you seen Stripes?
No.
I feel like Murray filmography begins with Ghostbusters and begins and almost ends. Begins
with Ghostbusters. It kind of ends too. Basically. Or like I watched Meatballs one time.
I've seen, Meatballs.
And Lost in Translation, but that doesn't count.
I think I've seen Caddyshack. Yeah, and some of his latter day, you know, when he was a little more of a serious actor. But Garfield. A lot of the... I haven't seen Garfield, believe it or not.
I actually haven't either, but I just wanted to lump that in. We're really padding for time here.
But we're supposed to be talking about In the Army Now.
We want to talk about anything but In the
Army. Yeah. Let's talk about it. I don't have any like, you know, fun behind the scenes stuff or anything. I didn't come prepared. So this is a movie that I was actually looking forward to because, like I said in the Son-in-Law episode, I just felt like Pauly Shore and Andy Dick sharing the screen would be over the top. And
Andy
I was
Dick
very
was such
let
a
down.
Disappointment.
Yeah. Basically, any time Andy Dick's ever been on a talk show, he's been more unhinged than this. This was a depressingly hinged Andy Dick. Like, there's a, you know,
and honestly, there wasn't much personality from Pauly either. That's, I took issue at the review you read where they said they were stretching his shtick. There wasn't even, the weasel did not feature in this
there
movie.
Was no shtick.
There was no shtick.
Yeah. We talked a little bit a couple episodes ago. I think we were talking about when Totally Pauly stopped and became Totally Different Pauly. And, you know, he was saying that he wanted to kind of tone down the, everybody said he was too annoying. And he wanted to tone that down. And I don't see it with son-in-law so much, because that is very much a weasel vehicle. But in the army now, I definitely see it. He's not doing the weasel shtick at all. And this, by the way, it could still be a funny movie if it wasn't. The problem is they took out all the weasel stuff, and they even like, they make a big show out of, you know, the army haircut scene. There's a lot of like kind of fourth wall stuff. They like make this big deal out of it in this way that it's very obviously Pauly Shore being shorn and not his character Bones Conway.
That's what I was going to talk about.
You know, he'll be like,
we don't see Pauly's long hair. So basically that scene where he gets his haircut for the army functions the same way that Kid getting the twist outs in Clash Act yeah. functions, because in House Party 3, he no longer has the flat tail yeah. face. And we never, yeah, so he gets the hair done right. in Class Act. And in House Party 3, he no longer has the flat top fade. So he has the twist. So that has become his hairstyle.
Yeah.
It happens.
So it's like this weird, like,
I've seen the next couple movies, and he has short hair. I'm pretty sure he does in Biodome too. It functions the same way where it's like, this is me now. And he changes his entire look.
Right.
But it's like, it's basically like an Easter egg. And they make this big show of it.
In a way that like is not meaningful without Pauly Shore as a celebrity. Cause he even says like, people know me. He's talking to the barber. He's like, people know me by my long hair. It's like, nobody fucking, you're a video store employee or an electronics store employee in Glendale named Bones, you know, like nobody knows you for your long hair. He's talking about Pauly. I don't know why that rubbed me the wrong way. Cause usually I don't mind breaking the fourth wall, but something about it, I was just like, I think it was just cause it was like, this isn't what we asked for, you know, like I get that you can't just be the weasel for, you know, indefinitely. Like I get it, but I feel like do something. Instead, it's just like they took away all of the catchphrases. It's like
he
and
didn't
stuff.
Know what
and,
to do.
You know, yeah. And he's just like, I will say there was one thing that I found charming about his performance. Maybe it's because the material kind of like sucks. He always feels like he's not trying that hard, which I think is a good stance to take when you're in a movie of the caliber of In the Army Now. And so there's a lot of parts that feel not unscripted, but like he seems to be breaking a little bit. Like when he's laughing, it seems genuine. And that was honestly probably the funniest parts of the movie for me. But it was all sort of like in spite of the storyline, anything that yeah. I found likable or interesting.
Or even like there's the part where he has like a Italian girlfriend that for some reason features heavily in the first part and like is like a plot device. But when he goes to the army, like when he's actually in like duty, she breaks up with him. And there's this one part where he's just like, well, I'm too shallow to care. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, that actually made me laugh.
I don't care about this plot.
Because his heart was in totally London. Like he was like, I don't care about any of this shit. Jeffrey Katzenberg won't let me make my masterpiece. So I'm just going to sleepwalk through this movie.
Yeah,
I'm going to, you know, cut my hair.
Jeffrey Katzenberg took Totally London away from us and created Shrek. So I have a lot of problems with that guy.
It's on site. Bones. So first of all, okay, let's address the elephant in the room, which is that Paulie's name is Bones Conway. Does not
when
appear
I first
to
heard
be...
his name, Crawl from Son-in-Law is a nickname. Stony is a nickname. When I first heard Bones, right. I'm like, okay, it must be a play off of his last yeah. name. Like it must be like Shepbone or something. I don't know. So I'm like, okay, cool.
Right.
This is his nickname. But right. then they say his last name and it's Conway. And so I'm like, this motherfucker's name is Bones Conway. I was like, Bones is not a name.
Andy Dick's character is like named Jack Kaufman. What the fuck? Jack Kaufman. It's just a regular ass name. And he's named Bones.
Well, it's so that they can have their at the end, spoiler alert, it's so that they can have their store. What was it called? Like Jack and Bones or something? What was their store?
Yeah, so they work at a
I'm just gonna stick with Jack and
I
Bones.
I feel like it was in the plot summary I'm looking at, it just says they open up their electronics shop. But it did have like a stupid name. So at the beginning, Bones and Jack and Bones are working at a discount electronics store called Crazy Boys in Glendale, California.
Do you know what the tank game they're playing at the beginning is?
It was like, no, but it was a
we had them at the computer labs at school.
Which is like, oh, really?
I played that game. We had them at the computer labs. I've only ever played them at school, and I never knew what it was called because it was just a icon on the desk, and you would click it. But I remember like playing it whenever we had downtime, or like kids would play it during class and get in trouble for it. But I never, I was trying to figure out what it was before we started recording.
Oh, yeah. I just Googled 3DO tank game, and what I came up with was Return Fire. Yeah, a 1995 video. Wait, that's 95. I mean, so that's not.
But honestly, it could have been 95.
Oh my God.
Oh, wait, but it would have been.
Yeah.
He was testing out new products. So maybe that was the first time we saw that.
You know how, like, the movie The Wizard with Fred Savage, that was like the world premiere of Super Mario Brothers 3. And it's basically just like the whole movie is a commercial for Super Mario Brothers 3. What if Son-in-Law is that, but for the
in the Army game now?
Return Fire.
You mean
in the Army now. So yeah, it opens like, and I forgot, it does like a cold open on, it's just the screen, and you could just hear Bones and Jack talking while they're playing this tank game. And I'm like, why are we just watching a Twitch stream by Pauly Shore and Andy Dick?
That I don't was my know, first but thought. I would my love to watch was, that now.
I would watch that. I would 100%. If Pauly Shore and Andy Dick did a Twitch stream now, I would 100% watch that. and you know, then it turns out that they're testing out this 3DO, and so it's like, yeah, everything at the store, there's a bunch of laser discs. Polly's girlfriend comes in and like is pretending to be a customer, and she returns, what was it called, it's the Walkman, but it's video, it's portable video.
Oh, I can't remember.
Watchman. Of course, it's the Watchman.
Oh, yeah.
She returns a Watchman. So it's like this weird, obsolete, early 90s technology that kept distracting me and was honestly more interesting than what was actually
going on. Yeah, that was the best part of the movie. If you're into 90s nostalgia, the beginning of In the Army Now is great. And then after that, it just all goes downhill. Also, okay, I'll let you finish what you're going to say.
Well, so I was just, were you going to talk about why they get fired?
No.
Because that's what I was going to talk about.
Talk about that person.
So they work at this electronics store, and they're obviously goof-offs. And it's sort of like, I feel like the movie doesn't really know which one is the responsible one. It honestly just seems like they flip a coin in every scene, and one of them does something completely brain dead. And in this case, they're goofing off. Bones gets chewed out by his boss. The boss threatens to fire him. Somehow he rigs this scenario with his girlfriend where she comes in and pretends to be a customer. And like he does this amazing sale in front of his boss so that the boss doesn't fire him. I don't know how the hell she knew to do that, because it's not like they have cell phones or anything. I don't know how they coordinated that. And then they go behind. It's just like behind a TV display in some boxes. And Polly's like trying to get her to have sex with him in the store. And then Andy Dick comes in with a fucking camcorder that's like hooked up to the store's, you know, closed circuit TV, and videos all of this so that the boss sees it happening in real time. And then they both get fired. I'm like,
it was hooked up to, like, you know how they have TV displays that are playing a video?
He like
somehow hooked it up to that. So not only the boss, but also all of the customers and everyone in the store sees it.
Right. It's like, why?
I mean,
and then Pauly doesn't even really seem that mad at him. He's just kind of like, it sucks that we got fired. It's like, yeah, you got fired because this fucking idiot. Well, I mean, he shouldn't have been doing that either. But it's like, come on. Like, what the hell? Like, why? And there might be a little bit.
There's
like,
no motivation behind it.
I feel like they might sort of have some motivation, because there is like a sense of like resentment later where Andy Dick's like, you always got the girlfriend and I don't. But it's like everybody is so paper thin that it doesn't connect, you know?
I mean, especially when that
is introduced. Yeah, it isn't introduced at the beginning. So it honestly just seems like this completely unforced. Like, why are you doing this? So I guess if I had to choose, Andy Dick is the dumber one. But it honestly feels like they decide at the beginning of every scene which one's going to be the dumb, which one's going to be the straight man, and which one's going to be the clown, you know? There is not that much thought. So, they get fired. Then Bones, for no reason at all, harasses some servicemen. I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know why he's so anti-military.
This is my favorite line in the movie, because they're, what are they like, doing mini golf or something? And for some reason he just like does a Jack Nicholson impression, and then he's like, that was my Nicholson impression. I do it sometimes when I golf.
And it's like, it's such a weird line too, because it's so specific, because I think it's supposed to be a reference to the fact that there was a professional golfer named Jack Nicholas. I feel like that's like the kind of joke that our dad would make, like confusing Jack Nicholson and Jack Nicholas. And it's also the kind of joke that only a dad in 1994 could make, because who even thinks about Jack Nicholas anymore?
I just thought like, it was a bizarre non sequitur.
I mean, it still kind of is. It's everything about it. He starts randomly, you know, he's doing the Few Good Men impression. There's an interesting ideological dynamic in the three Disney Pauly Shore movies. Encino Man, I feel like, was pretty, if anything, apolitical. You know, it didn't really have, like, I'm not going to try to argue that Encino Man has any kind of message, but I feel like if you were going to extrapolate a message from it, it was pretty, you know, progressive adjacent. It's like, don't let structures and hierarchies of society define you and be your own person and blah, blah, blah. You know, don't exploit your friends, like, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I mean, it just like baseline good morals kind of a thing. And then Son-in-Law, we get this weird, like, it reminds me of how the New York Times will interview Trump supporters in coffee shops. It's like, well, actually, the people in South Dakota, they're not inbreeders. They're people just like you and me. And so it's a little more conservative than Encino Man. And then In the Army Now is a straight up piece of military propaganda. For one thing, I forgot how many Army Reserves commercials there were in the 90s and 2000s. But this movie reminded me, because they were constantly singing the Be All That You Can Be song. There were so many references to that. And then, like, the whole thing is sort of an advertisement in a weird way for the Army Reserves, even though you would think it's like this nightmare scenario, because they get sent, you know, the whole plot is that they sign up for the U.S. Army Reserves and then they end up being in the actual Army and going to battle. But it's kind of like sold as this good thing, and it's like this character building experience for them. And then at the end, when they open their own electronics store.
And then they get to open a store, who gets to do that, by the way?
Which is right next to the Army recruiting station. Very strange politics going on.
I want to cut in real quick and do my fashion watch segment.
You bet I'll work. First things first, wardrobe.
Because most of the time, Pauly is in Army fatigue.
There's not much to talk about.
Before they cut the mop on top, never to be seen again. And this is my outfit for today. When they're golfing or whatever the fuck they're doing. Okay. I'm going to ask you this because I don't want to sound crazy. Did you think Pauly looks super hot in this scene? He's like the hottest he's ever been. And like, I don't necessarily think that Pauly is a really attractive man. Like, he's cute, but like, he looks so hot in this scene. And then they cut his hair. He has like, so he's got like kind of like the white peasant top with the blue embroidery. It might just be like his proximity to Andy Dick, who looks a fucking mess in this scene. It's like,
oh my God, that fucking wig that Andy Dick is wearing is like, what the hell?
It's like they literally just plopped a wig on his head. But like in the last scene, when he's at work before he gets fired, his hair looked kind of like greasy and like, well, not like greasy, but like moisturized greasy, like you're moisturizing your curly hair. And he had a ponytail in. And then the next scene we see him in, he's got like this like glossy mane of curly hair. He's got a little bit of a beard. His shirt,
you know what I think?
Top is opening.
I think that might be it. I think it might be like the beard and the chest hair. That might be what.
Yeah, like he looks so good, and then for the rest of the movie, he just has fucking Army stuff, and you never see the mop on top again.
It's funny that you asked that, because I was actually going to bring up, there's a scene in the bunks when they're in the Army. And I will say, my wife noticed this before I did. I don't know why I'm like no homoing this so hard.
But my wife was like, people who watch our channel are constantly asking.
Pauly Shore's dick in my face. They're always kind of gay. I know. I'm on guard. but my wife, I was watching it with Kia, and she was like, why is Pauly Shore's dick in my face? And it was like, I feel like there was something in his contract that he was like, the briefs he's wearing in the bunk scene have to be really flattering, because Andy Dick was wearing like baggy you know, boxer looking things. And Paulie's wearing like a fucking bikini briefs almost. And it's like, I don't think you bring your own underwear to the army. Like, I feel like that's regulation. Like, why are they fitting him so nice? You know?
Well, there was also that
this scene, is probably
before they go like to active duty or whatever, where his girlfriend comes over and then he's trying to seduce her or whatever. So he has his shirt off and he like has abs or whatever. He's like, look, the army did this for you or whatever, which is more propaganda.
Right.
But I didn't even think he looked hot at that. It was the last scene when he had the muff on top.
Yeah. You know, this is definitely the most toned we've seen Paulie. I will say that. But it's like Samson, like he lost the mop and that also his sex appeal also went. Yeah, I mean, do we even have any other outfits to talk about? I can kind of
one by generic. Default, but to be fair, it was a great outfit and it deserved to win. So the rest were literally just army fatigues. And then the weird like uniform he has for the electronics store that's like a ponytail and a really big button-down shirt and a vest.
Yeah, that doesn't even count for me because it's like supposed to be ugly, you know?
I was just going to say, speaking of no homo, I like the scene where Paul Mooney is interviewing them and they don't want to go to duty. Yes. So they pretend to be gay and they almost kiss in front of Paul Mooney just because it's so bizarre.
Like, I know they almost kiss, but then they won't do it. These are two men that are afraid for their lives. And also, like, I'm just going to say this. If you told me Pauly Shore had kissed a dude, I would believe you. I would not be like, these guys do not seem like guys that would refuse to even pretend to kiss each other. Like, come on. That was that was so weird.
Hey, I'll tell you what.
It felt like they had to.
In Barbarians, the Barbarian Brothers did actually kiss to avoid guards at one point.
See?
And they're twin fucking brothers. So.
Yeah, come on. Like, that's a taboo. You guys can't even. You're not even blood relatives. Just yet another reason why the Barbarian Brothers are superior. So, they join the Army Reserves because they got fired and because they have this run-in with reservists where, again, Paulie is like coming at them for no reason. And then they tell them that they only do it on the weekends. So then they hatch this brilliant scheme to join the Army Reserves and they sign up for water purification because Bones is like, my brother was a pool cleaner. And they just assume that doing water purification, they're not going to.
Isn't it also because Tank Girl is doing it or something and they want. I thought that was part of it. I don't know what
there is there is definitely a dynamic of of them being instantly horny for every woman that they encounter, and one of them is Tank Girl. She's in their unit, and then also
later on she says something about how
the drill instructor.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the drills. Yeah, that was weird. This is a dumb movie.
The drill instructor part, you know, they sign up and they go to basic training, and then at that point there's like a. I would say the next 20 minutes of the movie is an extended montage of basic training. But usually a training montage demonstrates improvement. And in this case, it's sort of just a collection of disconnected bits. And then they graduate. And we're just supposed to believe that they got better in this time. Because Paulie is still, that man cannot do a push-up even at the end of basic training. So I don't know where those abs came from. because he is still not in good shape, at least by strength of his push-ups. But their drill sergeant is the actress Lynn Whitfield. She's in Thin Line Between Love and Hate, Madea's Family Reunion. You know, she's a recognizable Black character actress. And they're weirdly horny for her. There's a part where she's like fixing the tucks in their shirts and Paulie keeps messing up his. So she'll have to fix his tuck. And there was
kind of going into their pants a little bit. And so he wants to purposely do it, which he has to be in proximity to his junk. it's real stupid.
And then weren't they doing like the American Gladiators thing with the like jousting? That's another thing about this movie.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that the person who wrote it has any idea what happens in the army, the Army Reserves. Basic training, any of that. Like everything just kind of seems like maybe kind of plausible that they might do this, Well, like, why do they have the fucking American Gladiator things? I don't know.
You know what? Honestly, I didn't. That when I was watching the movie, I just let that pass over me. But now that you mentioned it again, it's striking me as bizarre. But when I was watching the movie, I was just thousand yard stare. I was just watching. I was just looking at a screen.
But I feel like it was in that scene. He says he loves her in this like weird, gormless, childlike way. That made me laugh, mostly because it was just completely out of the blue.
Drew Barrymore proposal.
Right. this is a thing, I guess.
It's a pattern in his life.
He's drawing from his real experience. and the whole thing with Lori Petty, Tank Girl, that actually becomes a romance, but it's like there is no more or less chemistry between Bones and Tank Girl than there was between him and the drill sergeant. So like it took me
or even
a long
him
time
and Andy Dick
in the
really
movie to, yeah it took me a long time to be like, oh, they're actually gonna get together and this is, I guess, something that I'm supposed to be rooting for. I don't know, there was very little chemistry between anyone, because I mean him and Andy Dick had about equal amounts of chemistry as him and Tank Girl, but also they didn't really seem like close friends. We have to rely on them. You know, they tell us that they've been friends since childhood or whatever, but they don't have a particularly good rapport or anything. They don't seem to be having that much fun together.
It's also weird because the whole scene where they just kind of like explain their dynamic and I guess why he was jealous of him and got him fired by recording him and putting it on a bunch of TVs in his place of work. There's like a weird transphobic joke in there I mean it was the 90s, but like,
oh yeah,
it's just so like it doesn't go anywhere, it's so unnecessary. He's basically saying that like Bones takes all his girlfriend and he's like, even it was this woman and even the one in whatever that turned out to be a man, then
the
he says like whatever that was.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like, okay, oh yeah, that
chill out. I mean, this was around the same time as Ace Ventura.
Yeah, there's a lot of
entire movie, like the whole plot of Ace Ventura.
It's really
was transphobia.
So, like a weird high watermark time for transphobia. I wonder if like, because I know that like Ace Ventura specifically references The Crying Game, you know. So maybe it's because that was like still sort of in the zeitgeist. Because I mean, I think most of the time back then, I mean, honestly, most of the time, I think people were not thinking about trans people. You know, and then when they did think about them, they were like, ew.
Yeah,
so I guess
like
maybe
for a joke.
The Crying Game made everybody think about trans people for a while. But yeah, that really did not hit the same. And then there was the bad guys are Libyan. And there's a lot of like anti-Arab racism in this movie, which is also pretty standard for the time. This is definitely post Gulf War. They talk about Saddam Hussein. But yeah, there were several lines where Pauly would do like fake Arabic. And I was like, oh, what the hell? This isn't what I wanted to see.
They
sign up
at the end. There's like some missile at the end that they called it something. Yeah. He said like the Scuds are ready. And Marla was like, what is Scud? Is that something racist? And I looked it up and I'm like, no, it's the name of this missile. But like we were
no, it's an actual thing.
For it to
but
be,
I do think
we were fully prepared for it to be a slur.
Right. But I also do just think that like Scud missiles were definitely in the zeitgeist during the Gulf War era. They were associated with Iraq, you know, and the Gulf War. So, I mean, I don't think he's wrong.
Yeah.
The association is definitely a racist one. Yeah. So this movie just has a very weird tone in a lot of ways. So, you know, the whole joke is that they sign up, like the slackers sign up for Army Reserves, they end up actually seeing combat, which, you know, I can kind of understand that being a recipe for laughs, because like just the idea. And there are, you know, the basic training part did make me laugh a couple of times. I like seeing Pauly Shore kind of dismantle masculinity. So I like seeing him take a punch and cry in Son-in-Law. And I like seeing him.
Well, that was my issue,
know,
though, is that
really
it didn't. Like
trouble at push-ups.
But if they had kept doing that, but of course they can't because tinfoil hat time. The movie industry is funded by the fucking military. But like if it had actually been dismantled,
right. I mean
like masculinity and the military, I would be more interested in it because it would be an interesting story. But instead it was just military propaganda, which is not only something I disagree with
that's kind
wholeheartedly,
of
but also just not very interesting.
I kind of wanted it to be more that, like, the idea of the weasel in the army is a funny premise, but this felt like the fantasy of conservative dads at the time who are like, you know, a couple weeks in basic training would ship that kid right up, you know, that kind of thing. It's just so weird tonally. And then just the fact that it becomes an action movie kind of, because like you were alluding to the Scud missiles. So they end up on this mission in Libya and they cross enemy lines and there's these special forces guys that were supposed to do this mission to take out these missiles that are going to launch on American bases. But the special forces guys have been taken out of commission. So they have to get Paulie and his crew to do this. So it becomes this action sequence. And it's just very weird. Think about the characters that Paulie Shore plays, right? Like Stoney, whatever his name was, you know, Crawl in Son-in-Law, you know, they're these like happy-go-lucky kind of carefree guys laid back. And in this one, Bones definitely takes at least one man's life. Like he's firing a machine gun and at least he kills at least one Libyan soldier. And I'm just like, who asked for this? And he doesn't seem bothered by it at all. Like he goes home and is perfectly fine. He doesn't have PTSD. They open up their video store, like I said, right next to the recruitment station. So now they're part of the fucking military industrial complex. You know, it's very strange.
There's yet another Encino Man cameo, which I find it funny that like everyone clearly knew that Encino Man was the best one of these movies, and so they had to put a little cameo with Brendan Fraser in every single
back
one.
To it. Yeah,
for some reason Link is in the camp or whatever, and he tells them to not eat the chicken because it tastes like frog. That's the joke.
Yeah, and his little name tag says Link, which I will say it should be Linkovich, right? Because his last name is Linkovich. It shouldn't be his first name.
Yeah. Would he even, if that was the case, would he even be able to get into the military? Because all of his papers were technically dog immunizations. Do you need to like
maybe
have
they
papers?
Use the dog
like, I don't know how
the
yeah they're like, this is fine.
I think
Paul Mooney was like, great,
they just submitted
perfect.
The dog ones again. I mean, they don't have the military there's works. No draft anymore, so you know, it's a volunteer army, you take what you can get. But this kind of brings me back to our alternate universes discussion, because we already talked about how it's weird they had that moment in Son-in-Law where Crawl and the guy who's obviously supposed to be Link kind of see each other, and Crawl acts like he recognizes him. So it's like, wait, is Crawl Stoney, or is somehow are there two weasels in this universe? And now there's actually, we know for a fact that there's at least two, because Bones is definitely not Stoney. You know, Crawl might be Stoney, but Bones is definitely not Stoney.
I don't think Crawl is Stoney.
There's at least two Paulie Shores.
Believe it or not, is a different character. I can see the subtle differences.
Three Paulie Shores. Yeah.
Not necessarily
so
in the same
Link.
Planet, but I think it's
there's
like how the universe
Link
is split.
Paulie Shores. Okay.
I don't know. It could be three different Links too.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they're all alternate universes. But I'm pretty sure this is the last one we see, because this is the end. I don't think there's a Brendan Fraser cameo in the Goofy movie. So this is the end of the official Paulieverse. I'm trying to think if there's anything that we didn't talk about already. We talked about the pretending to be gay. We talked about the out of nowhere romance scenes. We talked about
Paulie's dick.
Oh,
I know what I
want to
talk about. In the absence of the weasel, Paulie has adopted the catchphrase, hello. The first time we saw this was in Son-in-Law. When we first meet Crawl, he's hanging from the ceiling and he comes down and he says, hello. So he keeps saying it in this movie, and it's like become his catchphrase. Now, one, it's not a fucking catchphrase. Two, I personally take issue at this, because this was a big problem for me in the 12 months of Mike era, where especially in Soy Married an Axe Murderer, that was his catchphrase. So I'm like, why?
Right, but then also Cat in the Hat, it kind of came back.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I don't know.
It makes me twitch every time I hear it. It gives me PTSD. I don't want to hear that. And I'm afraid that it's becoming more of a thing. I'm like, no, stop saying hello.
We have more PTSD from watching 12 Mike Myers movies than Bones had from killing a man in Libya. That's crazy. I don't know if that says more about our fragile psyches or you know, that says more about him. Yeah, this movie is very like, it's a tight 92 or something minutes, but it feels so much longer because you have no idea where it's going. Like, honestly, the title is the plot. When we were watching it, my wife was like, what is this movie about? And I was like, Pauly Shore is in the army now. And that's it. That's the synopsis. Like, he's just in the army and army things happen for a certain amount of time. And then he's no longer in the army. Like, that is the fucking movie. It makes it very hard to summarize and also very hard to watch because you're the whole time you're watching it, you're like, this could be almost the end or this could be just, you know, the first act. I have no way of knowing because a lot of just disconnected army things have happened.
Remember at the end when they tried to make us care about that camel and it became like a recurring character?
And then they saved. I forgot.
So like they had to like leave the camel and get on a car or something or whatever. And then they thought the camel was dead, yeah, but then they like airlift like the camel bunnies down, and everyone cheers because the camel is alive. And then all of a sudden the camel is in the U.S. with them at the opening of their electronics store as a character. And they keep putting their face right up next to that camel. And I'm like, you're going to stink like camel for days. Do not put your face that close to a camel.
Yeah. Honestly, it's the camel that Pauly had the most chemistry with. Not even Andy Dick. And certainly not Lori Petty. It's the camel. That was the real romance of this movie. That was the one I believed the most. But yeah, the camel also saves his life. He's about to get shot by the Libyans. And then the camel comes in and saves him. Yeah, the camel really, the last third of this movie got weirdly camel-centric.
There was no camel in any other part of this movie, by the way. This is all like,
no,
in the
no, it just suddenly shows up and becomes like the whole fucking movie. Yeah. So this was rough. I did not enjoy this. I'm glad that this so far is the only movie I haven't paid money for. I bought Encino Man on Apple TV Plus, and I bought Son-in-Law on Apple TV Plus. And I don't regret either of those purchases because I was actually just thinking the other day, I was like in the mood for watching something, but not something that would make me think. And I was like, do I want to watch Son-in-Law again? I don't think I'm never going to feel that way about it in the air.
Yeah, no, I don't.
It's, you know,
Barbarian Brothers.
Yeah. We haven't even mentioned David Alan Greer.
Oh yeah, David Alan Greer is also in the movie. I mean, he's just like, he's an erotic guy. That's it.
Yeah, he's not very funny. Every character has one trait. You know, it's like Pauly's trait is, I don't know, he falls in love with every woman that he meets. Andy Dick's trait is the same, and he's also jealous of Pauly. Lori Petty's trait is she really wants to go to war for some reason. And David Alan Greer's trait is he is really nervous and neurotic about everything. And they, you know, everybody just has one note that they hit for the whole movie. It's a weird, it's like,
he also randomly,
it's another thing. My wife is like
really horny for Pauly at some point. And then there's that weird scene where they're like prisoners of war. And she says like something about she's going to have like nasty sex with him or something. And it just like comes out of nowhere. And it's like,
yeah,
so totally different.
That came out of nowhere. Yeah, it's a bizarre movie.
And she says bizarre, it in front of a group of everyone. Yeah, that's when Andy Dick goes on his monologue about how Pauly gets every woman, which, first of all, I don't buy it, but like, okay.
But I guess if they're throwing themselves at him like that, then maybe he has a point. You know, that would get old if your friend was like getting like really hardcore hit on right in front of you all the time. That might be, you know, harm your friendship. Yeah, this was a stinker. Not a fan. Let's hope that things get better. I know that a goofy movie is very beloved, so I'm sure I will enjoy a goofy movie more than In the Army Now.
Haven't you seen a goofy movie?
Will I enjoy it? I haven't actually, which is kind of crazy.
I didn't see it as a kid. I recently watched it like maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Okay. It's fine. It's a Disney movie. I don't know. Always watch the things that were very beloved in the 90s and I'm like, yeah, it's fine. Like, or I hate them like Space Jam.
Right.
So
it's we'll no see. Son-in-law.
Yeah, exactly. This isn't Son-in-Law and it's not Twin Sitters. I'm not interested.
Yeah. I feel like we've covered everything.
Yeah, there's really not too much to this, honestly.
It's a short episode, mercifully short. If there's any interesting background that comes up, we can talk about it in a couple of weeks. Otherwise, next time we'll be talking about the two Goofy movies. We're going to go ahead and put those in one because I doubt there's a huge amount of, you know, Pauly Shore content in.
There's not even enough to justify an episode in the first one. We're literally really. Building an episode on.
But you know what, though?
Chiza. Like, that's going to be the whole thing.
But Goofy Movie is adjacent to one of my enduring obsessions, which is the fact that Goofy has had sex at least once. And I think is unique in the Mickey Mouse universe for that. Like, I'm not convinced Pete that anybody else.
Pete has had sex because he has a kid.
Oh, yeah. Pete's also fucked.
Yeah.
So I've just got to warn our listeners. I can go for a long time about this subject specifically, about the subject of Goofy, his son, how he produced that son, what happened to the wife. So, we might not talk about Pauly that much, but we will have something to talk about.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie, they're Donald's nephews, correct? But they're also Scrooge McDuck's nephews.
They're Donald's nephews, yeah.
But are they also Scrooge McDuck's nephews?
I guess they would be Scrooge's...
I'm just trying to figure out who in this equation fucked.
But then I also think that Donald is Scrooge's nephew. So that's the thing. It's like Disney always, they build out these relationships so you don't have to think about Donald fucking. But then for some reason, they're intent on making us think about Goofy fucking. You know,
and
like, why? Why are they the exceptions? So that's what we're gonna unpack in a month. Send us your theories about Goofy's sex life. You can find us.
Send us your fan fiction.
Instagram at Dystopian Graham. Yeah, send us your Goofy Pauly Shore fan fiction / we're on YouTube at Dystopian Dance Party. Internet's dystopiandanceparty.com. We are also, you can email us at heybuddy@dystopiandanceparty.com, and you can give us a review on your platform of choice. We're on Apple, we're on Spotify. Those are the main ones that I care about, but I think we're on other ones too, like so thank you as always for listening. If you're having trouble getting through the Pauly Shore movies, I will just say, at least in this specific instance, you weren't alone. You're in good company. This was a hard one for us. So we feel your pain. We'll see you later.